and allow it to find you where you are on your journey this day. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea and went to dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do what they were doing, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more can I say? For time would fail me to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promise, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and won strength out of weakness, became mighty in battle, foreign armies were set to flight, women received their dead at the resurrection, others were tortured, refusing to accept the release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in the skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains and the caves and holes in the ground. Yet all of these, though they were condemned for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not go without and be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight of the sins that cling to us so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for whose sake the joy was and set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and taken to the seat of the right hand of the throne of God. One of the interesting things for me about moving here was, going through 20 years of accumulation in the same house. And I couldn't imagine how I, as a person who tries not to accumulate too much, accumulated too much. I gave a lot of things away. I recycled everything I could. I gave away a lot of books. But in going through things, I found a few surprises. One of the surprises that I found was a piece of a writing taken from my great-grandmother Force's journal. I have her clock in my house, and every Sunday I wind it like my grandfather had wound it and my dad before him. And on this journal, she had ridden in the sidecar of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle in 1932 from Howard, Kansas, taking Route 66 all the way to California. And interestingly, their first stop, 30 years before I landed on the planet, was in Perry, Oklahoma. She wrote about how much they would spend every night and couldn't believe that it cost a whole dollar to rent a cabin. There were times when the bridges had gone out because there was too much rain and they had to stay. And she would talk about how her face had been sunburned as they were going through the painted desert. And she described the painted desert with such elegance that I felt like I could see the purples and the whites and the blues as they rode through there. It made me feel like the wind was blowing through my hair and I was seated right next to my great-grandmother Force. At the end of it, she wrote, "We finally arrived in California. I'm dirty. I need a bath. I'm exhausted. But if someone ever asked me if I wanted to do it again, I would say yes." My mom, as she gets older, seems to need to be telling me the stories of her family. And she was an eyewitness to this account. It wasn't secondhand. A time when my grandmother, her mom, no bigger than a minute, who was raised not only a Nazarene, but an Oklahoma by God Nazarene, had 9 children, and her husband and her father-in-law apparently were outside drinking whiskey. When she went out and said, "You're not going to drink that whiskey in front of my children," her father-in-law said, "If that had been my woman, I would take her out and beat her to teach her how to talk to her man." My grandmother took his whiskey bottle, broke it against the stone wall, grabbed him by the collar, held the jagged edge of the bottle up to his neck, and said, "I believe I'd like to see you try that." These are my people. It may answer a few questions you had about me. In the letter to the Hebrews, it seems like the author is telling us about faith and telling us this one thing that we need to reach back. And we need to reach the faith from the past and to bring it into the present to create a different future. If you want to have the faith to be able to go on, all we have to do is look at our spiritual ancestors. It is as if someone comes into my house and we sit down on the couch and says, "Okay, Victor, you know a little about your family history, but now I want to introduce you to your spiritual ancestors." So long before your family in France had to escape the Roman Catholics, your spiritual ancestors had to escape the Egyptians and go through the land of Egypt. A long time before your ancestors came in covered wagons to form a new home in Oklahoma, there were Abraham and Sarah, and they took that trip as well. A long time ago, when your ancestors went by covered wagons to Oregon, there were people who made that spiritual journey. It seems to me that we, as a community of faith, who has gone through some bumps, we can look at our spiritual family and say, this isn't the first time it's happened. It's not the first time any church has ever gone through bumps. In 2,000 years, really, you think you're the worst church that's gone through these bumps? Get a clue. We look in the past. We bring that faith from the past to the present to create a different future. I have a friend in New Jersey, and she's going through a nasty, nasty divorce. There are buckets and buckets of money involved, and children, and name-calling. And I called her up to see how she was doing, and she said, "Victor, I know I'm going to get through this. I just don't know how to get through today." I had a friend who's actually a hero of mine. I met her when she was 89 years old, little Bostonian woman. And when I was going through a dark night of the soul, she said to me, "When you don't know what to do, you put your left foot down, and then you put your right foot down, and then you put your left foot down, and eventually you'll walk through that bad patch." I reminded her of that when she was 91 and fell and broke her hip for the first time. And she said, "My mother told me that." So this was old, old Bostonian wisdom. So I said that to my friend, left foot down, right foot down, left foot down, right foot down. See what I did? Take wisdom and faith from the past, bring it into the present to create a different future. Yeah? Past, present, a new future. It's as if you're hungry for faith and you need the faith. And so you call her up on the telephone and say, "Faith, I need you to come over. I need a visit. I'll leave the screen porch unlocked. I will be making some iced tea and I'll be there in the living room." And Faith comes over and she sits next to you on the couch, sitting a little too close for a Presbyterian, but, you know, she does. And she promises you that things are going to be better. She can't tell you when. It might be 3 o'clock this afternoon. It may not be for 6 weeks. It may be a year from now, but it's going to be better. And you say, "How do you know? How do you know?" And she calls you to lean and look all the way down Pennsylvania Avenue and you stretch, and she gives you a pair of binoculars. And if you look far enough, there's Abraham and Sarah and King David and Mary, the mother of God. And she goes, I can tell you this because all those people, I got them where they needed to be. I have a good track record. It's going to work out. So then she leaves and says, I'll be back on Wednesday at 4 o'clock and I'll check on you. Leave the screen porch unlocked. So she shows up, and this time she brings a boy that looks a lot like her. It's her twin brother, Imagination. And they just come in and they go into the living room or in the kitchen and start making popcorn, change the NPR station to rap, start dancing around. You think, my God, what are they doing? Imagination seems like he has ADHD. I kind of think he does. But then he settles down a little bit and tells you the story of a church in western Oklahoma that during its boom time, when all the oil wells were pumping, they did really well. And then the oil ran dry. And the community began to run dry, but there was a church of 44 people, and in that church there were 14 millionaires. The community started to dry up. The church would call a minister and they would say, we want you to bring the young people in, which is what every church says to every minister. We want you to bring the young people in. Problem was, the young people had moved away. So they'd fire the preacher. And they'd go get another preacher. We want you to bring the young people in. Finally, they get this young buck right out of seminary. And he goes, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I can bring the young people in. But I tell you what, there's this little startup church in Oklahoma City about an hour from here. And they're booming with young people, but they've got a mortgage on their church. They've got a mortgage on the toilet. They've got a mortgage on everything. And they need some help. The churches start talking back and forth. And the church with 44 members and 14 millionaires decide to start helping them. And they take money by the wheelbarrow full. And that church continues to grow and grow. And then it starts another church. So that little church with 44 members and 14 millionaires, they call it their Sunday school. That church over there in Oklahoma City, they call it Sunday school. People will visit them and say, do you have Sunday school? And they go, yeah. Once a week over in Oklahoma City. When faith and imagination get together, It's crazy. Because faith brings the past to the present to create a different future. And at imagination, my God, you never know what's going to happen. So then you lean over and say, you'll have a church? I go, no, we've been looking. Haven't found one. Well, I know this cool, groovy church called Church of the Open Arms. You got to come and visit. Knowing that they probably won't. I mean, they're young and they're not joiners. They don't do this anymore. But then one Sunday they show up. And they sit right in the middle. And they bring their other sisters. Grace and love and hope. And they all sit together in the middle. And one of them gets tickled. It's probably imagination because I think he has ADHD. And they start getting tickled and they start laughing. And people start looking at them. What's wrong with you? Preacher's talking. Have some respect. And the people in front of them start giggling. And people behind them start giggling. Pretty soon, the middle of the church is all laughing. Everyone else starts laughing. And before you know it, even the preacher's laughing. We don't know why. But it's that little family that showed up that we allowed to come into the church. Pretty soon, they want to help with fellowship time. So they call up Bo and say, we want to help. Okay. But instead of little pastries, and coffee, they bring popcorn, fish sticks, and Miller Lite. And we think to ourselves, we don't drink here at church. It'd be a shame to let it go to waste. So then we all start eating and drinking together and letting faith bring the past to the present. And changing our future. And before you know it, they turn up the music and we start dancing. We start grabbing each other's hands. We're joyful. We don't know why. We go out into the parking lot and start walking down Pennsylvania Avenue, not knowing, like Abraham and Sarah, where we're going. But we keep walking, and we keep walking. And we sing in our hearts, we shall overcome. And we keep walking, and we go through this place that looks not unlike a painted desert, with purples and white sand, and we keep walking. And all of a sudden, our complexions become changed. We're looking more and more like the kingdom people. And we keep on going down Route 66, and eventually we walk together right into the kingdom of heaven. As a church, as a group of people who allowed the faith from the past to come into our present to change our future for the better. I don't know where you are on your journey today. Things may be great. You may be struggling. I don't know. All I know is that if you are struggling, I give you this advice. And it's free, so you can take it or leave it. After worship, go home, make yourself a nutritious meal. Take a nap. And if you're still struggling, at 4 o'clock, make sure the screen and porch is unlatched. Give faith a call. And then buckle your seatbelt. Amen. This church